Okay, we are clear. Ready to go live in 5, 4, cue the talent, 3. Hey, I said cue the talent. 2, and 1.
Attention hobbyists, sports fans, and collectors nationwide and abroad. It's time to get part of. Live from the Mojo Break Studios, it's Dan and Doug.
Come on!
So, get hyped. Be hyped. This is The Hype.
What's going down, everyone. It's time for Mojo Break the Hype, episode number 126. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. Check out mojobreak.com for your breaking needs. Any of your sports card products will be available to break through mojobreak.com. Follow us on Twitter, mojobreak_com, as well as Instagram. We've got a jam-packed show today. The reason you see the money on the screen is we're going to talk about all the money that's flowing through the basketball hobby. It's crazy. It's crazy times. Is it going to sustain? And we're also going to talk buy, sell, and hold across all sports, some of the bigger names. Should you sell the card finally? Should you hold it? Should you be buying? So it's going to be a fun episode. Dan, what's going down?
You're going to have to talk a little bit closer into the microphone because it sounds like you're way back here when you're talking.
I was trying not to peek it anymore.
Yeah, I know. I get what you're trying to do, but you got to, with a dynamic microphone, you got to be all up in it. You just don't scream.
Thanks, audio engineer. Appreciate it.
Call me, you know.
Who's a very popular audio engineer out there? Like Bob Rock?
Mutt Lane. The guy who, wasn't he married to, what's
Shania
the
Twain?
Shania Twain.
Thanks, Mutt.
Back
to you, Mutt.
Who was the dude who, Beastie Boys, Slayer?
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Rick Rubin. Ross Robinson? Slipknot and
Roadrunner, yes.
Machine Head.
Yeah. Those are some popular sound engineers. Get into a music talk.
Dr. Dre.
The guy who does Joe Rogan's podcast.
Young Jamie. Here's some of the images of some of the bigger hits we've pulled. So if you're missing out on any of our breaks, I definitely would recommend checking it out, see where you can get in, and you could be up on the board on the next hype for next big hit. First off, we pulled a gold Zion auto out of Optic today. Optic NBA just released today, and it is on fire, so we pulled a gold auto. I mean, who even knows what that's worth? How much do you think that's worth, Dan?
Seven.
Oh, okay. Seven. All right. And then we've got some other hits that we've hit across the week. This is just the last week of breaks. We hit the number to 86 quad diamond rookie of Jack Hughes out of Black Diamond. We also hit a 1-on-1 champ ticket of Devin Singletary, which is pretty nice. You know, there's no better card for Devin Singletary. And
Not yet.
And then last, we had a nice Austin Matthews. I'm sure we had bigger hits, but these are just some of the notables that we posted on our Instagram, which is also a nice place to follow, see what kind of hits we were pulling. Follow us on Instagram, mojobreak_com as well. C-Red, how excited are you for Optic Basketball, dude?
Very excited. To be honest, obviously I'm excited for any basketball product.
Don't lie to me, bro.
My levels for this year's Optic aren't any more crazier than any previous years. The thing is, like, this year, you know, Optic is at the point where everybody's into it now. Whereas, like, last year, it was, like, a few people were into it, you know what I mean? So,
what do you think? I mean, you think people are still preferring Prism over Optic, or is it kind of meeting in the middle now?
To answer that question, I think we're going to have to wait and see. I actually didn't anticipate Prism being this hot for this long because it's never done that before in previous years. You know, obviously, we're in the Zion mania, so we'll see. Optic obviously just blew up last summer because people were realizing how rare those Optic Holos and some of the other parallels are in Optic. So we'll see what happens. Will it overtake Prism right now? And I'm saying probably not. But I'm going to say it's going to get pretty close to the Prism hype.
And for people that are just new to collecting, what do you think is the biggest difference between Prism basketball and Optic basketball?
Prism has the – because it's been out years before Optic, It carries a little bit more of the Chrome heritage, though, so people are still viewing Prism as the more like true rookie to go after.
Mm-hmm.
But as we've seen recently with Optic, I feel like if Optic had come out before Prism, you know, if Panini had released Optic before Prism, I feel like Optic would have had a good chance of becoming the new Chrome. But because Prism had years ahead of Optic before they finally was it 16, 17 was the first year they released Optic Basketball, right?
Believe so. Yeah, first with Ben Simmons.
So it's still fairly new, but it the Optic Hollows are significantly more rare than the Silver Prism. So we'll
and
see.
I think I have some images of Zion next. Well, mainly a news story because that's what we're going to talk about. But what do you think? You know, Optic is known, basketball is known for its on-card autos, right? So
yes.
Prism doesn't have any on-card autos, at least in the regular Prism release. What do you think in terms of Contenders basketball compared to Optic basketball on-card autos?
About the autos? That's a tough one. Because the Optic autos on-cards are really nice. I'd say Contenders probably still holds the edge. Again, because what's funny is that the first year, like we were talking about the first year of Optic, 16-17, those were actually all sticker autos, even the Raider rookies.
They were,
yeah. So, you know, when Contenders came out in 17-18, it just, like, blew everybody away, you know, because they didn't realize how much they would love the Contenders design on basketball.
And see, that goes against the theory of Prism being first, because technically Contenders was after Optic, right?
Yeah.
So, but it's interesting. I mean, everything right now, basketball is hot, as you could see, you know, Zion. I mean, that Panini couldn't have planned this out any better with Zion getting 31 points last night, and then we release a huge product the next day. I mean,
that's why they did it.
They didn't know. Right?
He knew. He was like, Zion's, you know, playing yesterday, and he's like, you know what? He's like, pretty sure Panini's releasing that Optic product tomorrow. I better show up and get over 30 tonight. actually, I got a little tidbit here. Let's go back a year. We were already talking about Zion
because
I remember. I mean, it was right before March Madness, and we were already talking about Zion, and we were on a ridiculous high in 18-19 with Luka,
yes,
Trey, right, and we were coming off another high of 17-18 product of Lonzo Ball and Jason Tatum,
Donovan Mitchell.
The difference that we have right now is that we're not talking about anybody for next year.
No, not at all.
Are we, is the wave, is the incline done? Do we start coming back down to reality next year? Does it start, is it come back to where it was 15-16, 16-17, 13-14? 13-14, now we look at it and go, well, there was Giannis. Giannis wasn't hyped 13-14.
Yeah, he blew up 15.
Everybody complains about products going up. Products are going up because obviously you can open up a box of Optic. Not going to happen a lot, but you can get $3,000, $4,000, or $5,000 worth of cards.
Yeah.
Because there's multiple guys to chase.
Like our case three today, which
like our case three.
I'd advise you guys to check it out. Gold vinyl, rookie auto, Zion gold, two green. I mean, it was
but
like,
if I'm
silly.
If I'm looking at it right now, I'm looking like you're probably going to be able to get basketball next year at the original retail price. We don't know for sure because you never know who's going to pop, but out of the gate, nobody's really talking about anybody right now. I remember 17-18, we were talking about Lonzo Ball, or 16-17 when Lonzo Ball is when he was playing at UCLA.
And you know why? Because nobody has room in their life for any more guys. There's too many guys that we're already focused on.
I'm just saying, are everybody complaining about where the prices are? Don't worry, because it looks like next year they're going to be back down to reality. We're not gonna be living this crazy life we're living right now in basketball land.
I'm in that camp too. I agree that the prices are definitely gonna come back down to earth next year. It's just a matter of how much down to earth they're gonna be. Cause
I mean,
we're still a growing hobby. So many new people are coming into the hobby right now. So,
well, and I've got some slides over some just ridiculous prices for Zion. I mean, we've got. For you guys listening to the audio version, I'll do my best to explain these. But a gold prism, with no ink on it, just gold, number to 10, Zion, graded 9.5 BGS, $60,000, $60,000 for a guy that's played, what, 10, 15 games now? So that's a crazy price right there. I mean, that's just stupid.
He's looked amazing in those 10-15 games.
I wish we would have predicted. I would say that if we predicted last year, I think we would have said like 10 to 15K on a card like this. So, I mean, it's beyond anybody's wildest imagination. But I want to circle back to what your guys' point was. And I actually think that we're going to be okay next year because there's not going to be any way to buy Zion or Luka as far as either boxes, or there's not going to be any cards that are obtainable to the average folk.
But there has to be.
So there's gonna be a guy that's probably mediocre.
So like a Michael Carter Williams?
Right. That's going to be, since I can't buy Zion and since I can't buy Luka, I'm going to invest in this guy. And there's going to be guys, because people aren't, there's not going to be, let me just put in the numbers. There's not going to be 150,000 new people in this hobby this year. And then they're all going to go away.
Well, you don't.
There's going to be maybe 50,000 that go away. There's still going to be 100,000 people that are buying.
It's hard to say. I mean, I don't think Prism is going to be $120 or $150 a box. It's not going to be $400 and $450 a box. Yeah. It's probably going to be somewhere in like the $200 to $250 range.
Yeah.
And there's gonna be guys who emerge that people are going to collect. Mm-hmm. It's not like there's not going to be lottery picks. There's still going to be. I mean, the Warriors are going to get a lottery pick.
Yeah, and Warriors is one of the most popular teams.
And the Warriors, that lottery pick is going to be on a team that's going to be good.
Well, and it's still too early to tell because we you talk about March Madness. We haven't really hit March Madness yet.
I think, I mean,
that's when Ja Morant emerged.
It's hard to say, but like, if I was to speculate, I would say the next time we're going to see a time like this in this category for basketball is going to be when. If LeBron James's kid, you know, kills it in his one year of college, and you may have LeBron James and Dwayne Wade's kid come out at the same time.
Yeah, and that's actually what Jason's making a point in the chat. Yeah, who knows? They could be really.
I mean,
bad.
Bronny James.
I mean, so yeah. I mean, as far as sustainability, obviously, I don't think we're gonna have as big years as we're having right now. We're definitely in a bubble, but. Everybody would have to go away and stop spending money next year. And I don't think that's going to happen. So I know we're all like looking at the athletes right now. And we're saying there's no Zion. There's no, you know, there's no Luka type of player that's coming out of the draft. Yeah, but there's still collectors that are going to ramp up guys that are still going to spend money on guys. And that's what drives this market. So a lot of times it doesn't even matter what they're doing on the court. It literally doesn't matter what they're doing on the court. Look at baseball prospecting. People are paying thousands of dollars for Wander Franco cards. Guy hasn't taken Major League a bat yet. So yeah, there's still guys that are going to
basketball, you kind of know if the guys are – if I mean, out of the gate, you know if they're getting playing time. There's only two rounds. So you don't have like – a lot of the times you don't have guys who are in the second round who just emerge as like starters on the team.
I think we can all agree, all three of us here, we can all agree, probably a lot of people watching and listening – this upcoming basketball draft class will probably be the weakest one of the last decade.
Bold.
The next one?
In the last decade.
Yeah.
I don't think, in terms of
names that we know of, like we just talked about, there's nobody's talking about anybody. Like, we're talking about LaMelo a little bit, right? Because he has the ball name. And then the
kid Wiseman who played
college at all.
He played one game and then he got.
We don't know anything about this draft class.
But I feel we don't know that because there's no reason to talk about it. See what I'm saying?
I feel like every year, dude, there's been at least one guy we talk about, like maybe not way ahead of time, but like around this time we're talking about certain guys.
Yeah, no,
we were talking about Grayson Allen. He was always getting talked about.
Well, I mean, we've had heard Wiseman and Melo, so there's a couple names we've talked about.
But Melo, we don't hear about because he's not. I can't turn on the TV and watch him.
Don't get me wrong. Absolutely, there's going to be a player or two that is going to explode from this draft class. That's going to make everybody switch who they're collecting. Right? There's going to be a couple guys that emerge from this draft class that are like, wow, they're amazing players. But as of right now, my feeling is that, you know, it's not. Ben Simmons is not Karl-Anthony Towns. It's not Donovan Mitchell or Jason Tatum or Lonzo. It's not Zion. It's not Andrew Wiggins and Jabari Parker. It's not the dual draft class in 12-11 and 11-12. You know what I mean?
I feel you. I'm left-handed, so I was trying to look at both sides of the equation. So the way I'm looking at it is I feel like the reason why we're not as a hobby. I'm not talking about sports in general. I'm talking about as a hobby because we don't have any more room to talk about anybody else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's only certain guys you can focus on, and you've got heavy hitters in all the categories right now, right? So there's not enough room to talk about the next guy because the next guy is Zion right now. And then people get so invested in Zion that they're not going to even think about the next guy. So I feel like there's going to be a next guy 6 months from now, and then we're going to be like, okay, cool, this is the next guy, because there's not going to be any product of 19 and 20 left. There's not going to be any product of 18, 19 left. Mm-hmm. So either guys leave the hobby, or like Ryan in the chat says, there's a recession. That's obviously going to hurt. But guys are not going to stop spending money in the hobby. Guys are going to trade Zion for the next guy next year. Guys are going to trade Lucas for the next. It's going to happen. People are going to sell to buy, unless they just quit the hobby, which I don't think is going to happen.
Yeah, I see. What, remember? Okay, so this is a good one. Remember, we're going into Zion year. There's so much hype, right? Boom, 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 boom. But Luka comes out his second year, dominates.
Right.
And people still are clamoring now for 18, 19 products.
Yes.
I foresee this because this is such a transcendent draft.
But that was
class.
Because he was hurt, I think. Yeah. We're talking about Zion. We're not even talking about Luka anymore.
You're right. But I feel like Zion in this class is so transcendent, specifically Zion, that people are going to be wanting to break 19, 20, like late into the next draft class.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. But it's not going to be there. Nobody's going to have it.
Yeah.
And if they do, you want to pay $1,500 for a prism box? I mean, you know, $2,000 a prism box. Optics are going to, you know, I'm just throwing out numbers. I don't know if that's what's going to be the case. But, you know, the prism of last year's way up. I mean, I can't. Hey, if you get a chance of sealed boxes, one of the best things is to probably hold on to it, you know, to be honest. But
well, there was some 18, 19 products with Luke in it that got kind of swept under the rug. That are, you can't even find them anymore.
Right.
There was like the cornerstones and stuff like, and stuff, Old Dominion, like stuff that, like, you know, we kind of went through on release day, and then we're just like, okay, when's the next product coming out? Let's kind of just forget that this one even existed.
Yeah.
Totally. Those products have all gone way up, and you can't find them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how much 18, 19 product? Both you guys, throw it out there. Throw out a percentage. What percentage do you think of 18, 19 has not been opened?
15, 20%.
So, I mean, in this industry, there is a lot of people who hold on to boxes. So, I mean, I think you're probably right. I think it could be probably 15 to 20%.
And, you know, not to be morbid, but, you know, the Kobe effect on this whole thing gave it a bump as well. I mean, there's people buying boxes where they knew Kobe was in there.
Well, for basketball, what is readily available right now? Go back through the last 4 years and tell me what you guys can get that's readily available for basketball products.
Well,
there's really not a ton.
Well, you can go 17, 18 for sure.
16, 17.
17, 8, but even 17, 18 stuff. You just said the Kobe effect.
Yeah.
Has what happened with Kobe, has that affected the sealed wax? It kind of been sitting at it. And Kobe's in everything. 17, 18, he's in everything. So is that stuff even hard to get?
Yeah, I think the prime Kobe years was the year before he retired, if you want to try to look for a Kobe auto.
Yeah, and I mean, there's like status, contenders draft, prestige for the 17-18, totally certified at a relatively fair price, but that's the 17-18 class. Lonzo, Tatum, I mean,
I would say Tatum is probably in the top 20 players in the league.
I would say so too, but not 20 in card sales, not even close.
No, but what has Tatum got to do to get love?
Probably become the leader of his team, MVP awards and a championship.
Yeah.
Is that going to happen this year?
No.
Well, it's the Utah effect, people say.
Didn't the Celtics kind of took a step back, right?
I think they're, what, third or fourth seed still, right?
They're doing all right.
But they essentially lose
Horford
and Kyrie.
Mm-hmm.
And you replace them with Kemba Walker.
They're actually, I think they have a better record this year.
I don't think so.
Year.
I don't think so. But they, I mean,
Tatum's play this year has been pretty good.
How's Jaylen Brown?
Celtics are in third. They had to bet. They're 37-16, so they're doing just fine.
37-16, whatever.
Yeah, it's just nobody's talking about them compared to the Bucks, Raptors, and even the Heat and Sixers. So it's weird. It's like they're a third seed, but they feel like they're an A seed compared to like who everybody's talking about. Because you know you got Embiid, you got all these guys, you got the Heat.
People are just talking about the Sixers because they're like plane crashing right now.
Dude, Lakers are going to win the championship. Lakers are going to win the title. Lakers are the best team.
I want the Lakers.
Nobody's. I mean, I would be.
Clippers have something to say about.
Man, I'd be surprised if the Lakers just don't. Milwaukee who? Milwaukee what? I play in the East, dude. It's like the minor leagues.
We had a shout. Yes, we do have a bizarre email coming up. It's at the end of the show. So, Hits and Chicks, thanks for reminding me. But it is scheduled to be set at the end of the show. So, yeah, even John Morant's prices. I mean, for a disco red to $125, $800 for out of a fast break, which when Fast Break Prism came out in 17-18, was it 17-18? We like laugh. It was like, oh, this is such a terrible product. But now these parallels are selling as well as some of the Prism parallels, and some of them are selling better.
Is this but Fast Break not considered a retail product?
No, that was the one that they gave, I think, to the online retailers.
But it's crazy.
They call it retail because they gave it to online retailers.
But where does it fit in? Is it hobby? Is it retail?
It's a good question. It has its own idea. It's Fast Break, bro.
Oh, it's Fast Break.
It is. And, you know, we were so worried about how much overproduction there was going to be, and it doesn't seem – I mean, honestly, it sounds silly. I don't think there's enough.
With the prices,
it's not enough.
You guys are high.
There's too many.
There's too much.
We talked about this on one of the episodes of Hype, like, multiple times. Like, you know, the supply and demand thing where it's like, okay, there is what – Luka 5,000 graded whatever, right? But there's still way more people that want those cards, so it's like that's what retains its value.
Well, you're one bad rookie class away from having overproduction.
Yeah.
Because then it's going to be glaringly obvious that we're not going to need the Fast Break.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to need that release. There's going to be 10 releases in basketball that we're not going to need in a bad rookie class.
Well, exactly. One of the things I can't believe it took me so long to start listening to it, but Dr. James Beckett has a podcast, and he no longer owns Beckett, but he sold Beckett, started the Price Guy type thing back in the day. He has a podcast. He was actually talking about this, and he referred to it as the long tail. So he said for the industry to thrive, the long tail has to succeed as well. And now what he means by that is the head is your gold prisms, your flashy cards, your cards that are going to sell for $10,000, and then your long tail are people that are selling $1, $2 base cards. So what he's saying is that the long tail is doing well in this industry as well. People are buying those dollar paper base. They're buying those
and answers. The long tail is killing it right now.
Yeah, tail's killing it.
You're looking. That's right now with Zion. It's a $90 long tail.
Yeah, so like, exactly. When it comes to basketball,
it ain't no cheap long tail.
So you know from. You know, the head to the end of it. There's not just Zion. There's Jarrett Culver that's selling. You know, there's not just one guy selling. So it's a very fruitful
industry. And it's not just the guys with deep pockets in the hobby that are killing it. It's the guys that, you know, just have a budget and they know how much they can spend on their hobby that are killing it as well.
So. Yeah. I mean, is it more so the players or is it the technology?
But we're sitting here talking. We're talking about flipping. We're talking about like market value and all this stuff. Is there anybody who is buying these cards and actually holding them, being like, I like these cards regardless of the monetary value?
C-Red is
somebody at the end of the
somebody
end of the chain.
Somebody has to, right?
Yeah.
Or the whole system is broken. If nobody is like holding onto these cards and they're like, I don't care what the monetary value is, I like this card, I want to hold onto it. I think right now, I mean, because there is so much money involved in it, you're seeing like most of people's mindset is the monetary value. It is the flipping. It is the what can I get for this card?
Well, and I'll tell you what. I mean, one of the reasons I got out of the hobby in 93 was 91 Stadium Club, me and my dad, you guys probably heard the story if you listen to the podcast long enough, me and my dad built the entire 91 Stadium Club baseball card set, you know, and Frank Thomas, rookie, was the big rookie to chase, Jeff Bagwell back then. So we built the entire set, and we looked at it, and obviously there's no eBay then, so now everybody goes to check their prices on eBay, but back then we were looking at Beckett. So when we built the whole set, we looked at it, you know, we looked at it the next month, and the whole set was worth $300, and the Frank Thomas was worth $50. Go back next year. The whole set's worth $250. The Frank Thomas is worth now $30. You go back, and then you take another three more years, and then now the set's worth $100, and the Frank Thomas is worth $15. So I'm like, I wasted my time in a sense of investment. Yeah, it was fun. It was fun, and I cherish those cards. I still have that set, but I think that's what got me out of it because I kept looking, and my card, regardless if I sold it, which I didn't, my cards were not worth anything anymore. So I think that's what keeps people going. If they pull the silver prism of John Morant and it's $500 now, and now it's next year it's $100, those people are going to go away. So, you know, you need people buying and selling because the new guide, sorry, Beckett, the new guide is eBay. People, that's the real-time value. That's what people are going to be paying is on eBay. So when you start seeing decline in cards, that's what's going to ruin the hobby. That's what's going to ruin. And are we there? Probably not. I don't know if we'll ever get there again, but that's kind of what I attribute it to. The junk wax era, they made too much and nobody was willing to pay. There was too much supply and less demand.
Well, all those people who, if everybody threw away their junk wax, the people who held onto it, it might be worth a little bit of money now.
Right. Hey, and that eventually that might happen.
It might happen.
So I want to get into a segment that, thanks to Chris in the chat, brought it up yesterday. I thought, hey, this is a good topic to talk about, is, you know, our opinions, all three of our opinions on the show, and you guys can contribute in the chat. Sell, buy, and hold on some of the hobby's biggest names. When I tried to touch all sports, I didn't get any hockey in there, so I apologize for you hockey guys. Not that we talk about hockey that much anyway. But
I'm the hockey guy.
There you go. Yeah, C-Rad has an opinion on hockey. So we're going to start with some players, and we're going to take it right now.
Dustin Byfuglian.
Zion Silver. Zion Silver. C-Rad, are you – and this is the silver – for you guys that are new, this is the silver, the true silver prism out of 1920 prism. Are you buying, selling, or holding?
At which price?
The Does current that market value.
At the current market value, I am selling.
You're selling. Dan, what's up?
You know, it's crazy because I never thought his value really translated to him. I didn't think it was actually going to be as much as it is. Watching him play now, his team really isn't that bad. They're not great. They need a point guard.
If he was there from the beginning, dude, they'd be a top 18.
No, if they had a point guard, they might be okay, but they don't. They need to get a guy who can, you know,
they're just fine.
Be the quarterback on the court.
They've got a quarterback.
They don't. They
just,
don't.
They're just working. They haven't practiced long enough.
They got a third string point guard out there trying to make plays. But I buy, but I don't hold forever. If we're talking about, you know, flipping and all that stuff, I buy, and then I sell early next season.
Oh, so you wait till the off season. So what if he gets rookie of the year? Do you sell then?
No, I sell when the season starts. Next season, because I actually think they're going to be a playoff team.
Man, can I say this?
I basically take it what happened with Luka prices. Luka came out, and I was like, when his rookie year, I'm like, you buy a Luka right now, you're out of your mind. Well, if I would have bought Lukas at that point and then sold him in
the fall,
October or November, I would have doubled my money easily.
Yeah.
I'm taking that same approach with Zion.
You know what? I'm going to change my answer.
You're going to do it? Dude, I'm so good.
No, like, for me, like, I want to buy Zion for a lot. Like, me, my personal opinion, I want a Zion silver long-term to hold for myself. But at the current price that they're at, I feel like it's a little too high for where it's at right now. So I'm waiting just a little bit. I think they are going to come down a little bit. And then I'm going to buy and hold for a long time.
It's hard. I mean, because I know the amount of numbers that they've made. So it's hard for me to say buy or hold for it. And given that he's actually already been injured for me, it seems like a risky gamble at this point. I know he's coming out and he's killing it right now. But you know, you look, you see people always justify based on prices of other guys, and that's what's hard for me, because Giannis's silver prisms were a fraction, like a tenth, maybe even a hundredth of the amount of Zions that are out there. And granted, there's more people in the hobby buying now, so it is supply and demand, like I talked about. I would probably, and I don't want to copy Dan, but I'd probably hold until next season if I had one, if I pack pulled one. So, you know, but as far as buying, I don't know. It's risky.
I buy now, I sell in November.
Buy now and sell in November. That's good. I mean, I don't say that's a bad route. I mean, at what price point is it a good? At what price point is the silver too much right now to buy?
Anything hovering around $1,000, I think.
It's too much?
It's too much.
Yeah, and I think this one looks like $575 best offer. I don't know what it actually went for. It's a raw card.
Yeah, I think if you're hovering around $1,000, I think even if he comes out of the gate next year and he's performing and, you know, the Pelicans are above 500, I don't think you're going to be able to flip it and be able to sell it for
more than that. Yeah. The thing about this year to consider too with Zion, just specifically about 1920 Prism, is the centering is bad compared to a lot of the other years. So, you know, the graded ones are kind of popping a little bit more, going for more. You know that's a centered one. But we'll move on to Luka Doncic. Buy, sell, or hold a silver prism of Luka Doncic. Dan, what are you doing?
I'm staying away.
You're staying away, but so you're
not. I'm
so you
not,
still don't believe in him.
I'm staying. I mean, he's probably going to win MVP, but he doesn't have it for me. He just doesn't have that appeal.
Why?
Because he's tell us why. He just doesn't have. He's not my type of ball player.
All right. Yeah. So you like ones that are 285, 6'7"?
Yeah, Well, I mean, 285 a muscle, but you know, I just don't.
I'm sticking to it. I said sell last year at 400, and I look like pretty dumb right now. But there's never been a guy like Dan said of this stature, of this quality, of type of player in the history of basketball trading cards, really. Modern era with autographs and refractors, that's ever held and went up on a consistent year basis. So for what that's worth, I mean, you see the guys that have went up is the Kobe's, the LeBron's, the Giannis is short term. So Dirk Nowitzki didn't really go up that much.
Now I am still saying, and I don't, he's probably not going to be on the next slide, but you don't have Trey on the next slide, do you? Okay. I'm going to, since same rookie class, Trey Young is a guy that you should be buying. Trae Young is an undervalued player. He's going to be one of the best players in the league. I don't think you can go wrong. Buy as many Trae Youngs as you can.
Because Atlanta is a powerhouse.
Atlanta is going to get a lottery pick. Atlanta is going to be a really good team.
All right, we'll see.
That's it. I just gave you millions of dollars.
Well, you told
I love Trae Young. Dennis. I just don't love the Hawks.
You told people to buy Dennis Smith last year too, and
yeah, I love Trae Young.
Dennis
I don't
Smith
like
is
Hawks.
Gonna. He's still gonna be a ball player. Dennis Smith's gonna. He'll. I don't know what he's gonna do. He's gonna do something.
He could dunk.
But Trae Young, man, he does. If you like Steph,
who's the Clay on that Hawks team?
Somebody who gets drafted this year, the second overall pick,
LaMelo.
But I mean, who do they got? They got Hunter. They got a young team. Didn't they have? They had two like high picks this year.
Trae Young needs a Robin to his Batman. That's what I'm saying.
My problem.
He will, but he'll get one.
My problem with
maybe Giannis goes there. They make a trade. They have a buttload of like first rounders.
I think he. I don't know. I think this is my problem with Trae Young, is that I will not see Trae Young going, hey, this is Trae Young, drink Pepsi. It's not going to happen. They're not going to give him. He's not going to have advertisements.
Why not?
He's not.
No, I think he will.
I don't think so, man.
I think he will.
No.
I think he.
Does he have a Nike shoe deal?
I don't know what he wears, but it he does. Do you think Steph Curry is marketable?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Absolutely. Like, so is Trae Young.
No.
Yes.
No. No doubt he's a good ball player. As far as like a potential hobby guy,
he's an all-star. His second year, he's an all-star.
All right, he did sign with Adidas, so he does have an Adidas.
Second year, he's an all-star. What else do you want from him? He's an all-star. He's on a bad team.
I do agree that Trae Young is undervalued. In terms of Luka, I mean, you guys heard me last year. I'm sticking to my guns, dude. Last year, I told you guys Luka is the one. So I'm holding Luka right now.
Luka, I could see jumping over Kia's and being like drink Sprite.
I don't know if Luka's gonna jump over Kia's, but he's gonna smoothly.
He ain't jumping over anything.
He's gonna smoothly find a way around the
Kia. Does Luka look like a guy who's jumping over anything?
Yeah, he's gonna fade away.
Hey,
I mean, he's a good ball player. I mean, he could do a little bit of everything, but he's not like. Okay. He's not really explosive around the rim, is he?
To be fair, Blake Griffin only jumped over half a Kia, so. And he was the most athletic guy in the NBA at that point.
He was. All right, let's switch to football. Kyler Murray.
This one's easy.
Auto.
This one's easy. Bye.
Kyler Murray.
Buy it.
I think consensus.
You buy it. You're out of your mind if you're not buying it.
Yeah.
My only hold.
Can I actually say it? You can't lose.
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
Can't lose.
I wouldn't say that.
Oh, pure, like, greatest investment you could ever make.
Well, I'm of that same mindset, and we've bought some, so you know I'm thinking the same thing. My biggest claims against Murray is he plays for Arizona. When's there been a guy for Arizona that's ever? Larry Fitzgerald.
You could have said that last year about the Ravens and Lamar Jackson. You could have been like, Joe Flacco didn't sell that well, and he won a Super Bowl. It doesn't. It almost being a super talented quarterback transcends no matter what team you play for. Does not matter.
And I also look at Deshaun Watson, arguably a top five quarterback in the league, and he doesn't really sell.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about Deshaun Watson. I don't think it's the Texans. What is it about Deshaun Watson that people kind of stay away from?
I mean, I'm just going to like compare his contenders' autos anyway, just to see. I mean, if there's room for investment. I don't know. He's a great interview. He seems to be a great leader. I mean, his offensive line's terrible. It could be coaching as well, as far as why they're not going very far.
But he puts up numbers. He has weapons. You could make an argument that you have D-Hop and Will Fuller when healthy are the best 1-2 punch in the NFL when it comes to the two receivers.
Yeah.
You can make that argument.
Yeah.
I
mean, it looks like his base autos are hovering around 1,000 on a good grade. So, I mean, Kyler at a 700, I mean, that's not graded. So, I mean, Kyler's prices are almost.
But is that also D-Hop being probably the best receiver in the league and has been the best receiver in the league for some years now? Does that make Deshaun Jackson that much better? If you put any other average quarterback on the Texans, do they put up the same numbers as Deshaun Watson? Is his value being hurt by the fact that he does have the best receiver? Does D-Hop make him that much better?
He doesn't want it in the big games, I think, is why his value is low. And Slugger puts a good point in the chat. Is Deshaun wasn't as good as advertised. I think we were all like, you know, 17, he was the Messiah for that year before Mahomes. And then he gets hurt, and you know, and he comes out. He makes playoffs next year. Then he makes the playoffs this year, and went a little distance.
Would you?
In the playoffs.
I mean, I think a pretty strong consensus here. We'd all put Deshaun Watson in our top 10 if we were to rank the top 30 quarterbacks in the league. Deshaun Watson would be in all of our top 10.
Yeah.
And then Chris says that Dan, you hated Baker, and Watson did worse in his rookie year than you. And you hated Baker.
I dislike.
Did Watson do worse than Baker?
So my issue.
Because he got injured?
He got injured.
Yeah, or maybe.
He got injured. I think he only played like 5 or 6 games. But my issue with Baker had nothing to do with Baker performing. It was the fact that his market value was insanely high for being a quarterback that just had a 500 season, actually below 500. They were 7-9. And his cards were selling for.
Oh, okay. No, he's saying. I clarify. He's saying. Kyler did not have as good of a rookie campaign
and Kyler,
as Baker did.
Kyler's card,
Kyler doesn't sell anywhere near Baker.
Kyler doesn't
prices.
Sell anywhere near right now what Baker was selling for after his rookie season.
Yeah,
and that's what I'm basing it off of. Baker didn't – I didn't think Baker was bad. I thought Baker's prices didn't match his production.
True, true. I see that point. I agree with you there. But Kyler didn't sell well all year, which is crazy. What is it about him? Is it the height? Is it the fact that he plays in Arizona? I mean, he was the only guy this year that had 3,500 passing yards and over 500 yards running.
He's the only guy. Every game that I've seen Kyler in, I've seen maybe like four or five games of him this season, he's always impressed me with what he was doing.
And he's doing it with number one receiver Christian Kirk. I mean, you can't really say Larry Fitzgerald is an all-time great, but Larry Fitzgerald now is not what Larry Fitzgerald was 5-10 years ago.
Right.
So he's doing it with – I don't consider Christian Kirk a number one receiver. Do you? I consider him maybe a decent number two, and on some teams maybe a three.
I actually think Hakeem Butler is going to come back. He was hurt this year. I think he's going to be a vital piece, and then we'll see what they do in the draft. But – we got to start moving on because we got a sold-out break coming up. But Patrick Mahomes contenders, they're hovering around 15 to 20 grand.
You're talking to a select few people that are going to buy seller.
Okay, let's just say you have one. Let's put it in perspective. So 2017 contenders, Patrick Mahomes, they're going for 15 to 20 grand graded. So let's just say you have one. He won the Super Bowl MVP. Are you selling now? Let's just say you had one. Are you selling?
You got to sell. You got to sell. Is he going to be the new guard of the NFL? Is he going to be Tom Brady? He could be. Yeah. He could be the new face of the NFL, the new Tom Brady. But you do have a fair amount of rookie quarterbacks coming out, highly touted rookie quarterbacks coming out this year. Maybe one of those guys surpass him. Maybe Mahomes has a bad year. Maybe they have a little Super Bowl hangover.
Well, nobody will surpass him next year.
So if they go 4-12 and they basically in
you're saying to surpass him, he's already got a Super Bowl.
You know this industry is all about what is in front of me and what is hot right now.
But nobody.
If Joe Burrows comes out and the Bengals start 4-0 and he's throwing 400 yards a game, people are going to start gravitating towards Burrows. They're going to literally – people will say, he's the face of the NFL. He's the best quarterback in the league. People are really, really quick to jump ship.
You have a solid year of Mahomes' prices before they would go down.
If you're saying right now to buy Mahomes because you think it's going to go up, that's crazy. You sell and – I think Mahomes is a good quarterback. I don't think he ends up having – I think he ends up somewhere in like the Aaron Rodgers at the end of his career where you talk about him as one of the best at his position for his era, but I don't think you put him in the best of all time.
Two full seasons, an MVP of the whole league and an MVP of the Super Bowl.
He's on a legendary track.
Is there any quarterback who's ever done that?
He's had a good run.
Is there any quarterback who's ever done that?
He's had a good run.
He's on a legendary track.
And that's what we have on sheet that's fact at this point, is two phenomenal years of football. So if you're saying that Tom – we talked about this in the prior episode, but if you're saying Tom Brady sells for 100 grand, this looks like a good deal. This looks like a buying opportunity if you have that money.
So if I had one, I'd hold. Me personally, I would hold. But if I had one.
But what about this? Like, say you have 15 grand right now. See, Rad, you're burning a hole in your pocket. You buying a Patrick Mahomes right now thinking that you're going to be able to flip it?
See, buy
15 grand. Because, I don't even know if this card sold for 15 grand. It could have sold for 16, 17. Who knows?
Yeah, that's a little bit harder to answer.
But, yeah,
I had one previously, I'd be holding personally.
Okay.
But if I had 15K to spend right now on a card, I don't know if I would buy it.
You got 15 grand. I wouldn't go Patrick Mahomes. I'd probably go like something safe. I'd probably go LeBron James. I'd probably take that 15 grand and buy whatever LeBron James rookie I can get.
Well, you can get probably a black refractor.
Yeah.
PSA 10.
That's what I would go with. Because I know.
But this card is not.
I know what LeBron James is going
to
be.
But this card isn't comparable to a LeBron James Chrome. This would be comparable to a LeBron James Exquisite. That's what this card is.
Yeah.
That's the difference. If you want to compare apples to apples there, I
think you'd have to, his NT would be considered to the exquisite. This would be like the SP Authentic.
Right. Yeah. Whatever the best on card.
The on card SP Authentic rookie auto. That's what I would compare this to. The NT would be comparable to the exquisite.
And Chris says in the chat, he's never not been an MVP in his whole career. He's never not been an MVP. What else do we need?
Yeah, if I got $15,000, I'm not buying a Mahomes.
So if he wins the Super Bowl next year, wins the MVP again, we're having this conversation, and now the
if that's a lot of ifs, and if that does happen, then yeah, it's a good deal. You did well. But do you think he's going to win a Super Bowl next year?
I'm not saying. I don't know. I have no idea.
Not if the Raiders have something to say about that.
Vegas, baby. All right, let's run through the next ones. What do we got next?
We got Little Bake.
Bake. At the price now, so Baker Mayfield, prior to last year, sold for $1,700 for a Contenders rookie auto. They're around $600 to $700 now. So let's take it as it is now. Are you buy, selling, or hold? And we'll just do quickly because we have to get through the whole topic.
Buying. That's all it takes, though. Go back down to reality. I'm buying. I like Baker now.
Like
Baker. I didn't like Baker at $1,700, but I like Baker at $500.
I'm selling.
You're still selling?
Yeah.
I'm buying. I'm buying. Definitely buying at that price.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm off the Baker train.
He's marketable.
He's marketable.
Yeah, you see how many commercials he has.
I think he
cleans toilets.
But is he gonna produce for you on the field?
I think his commercials showed more than the amount of yards he had passing.
Well, I will say one comment about the Browns is the new regime. I have a little bit more hope compared to Freddie getting the kitchens, you know, type deal. So we'll see what happens.
Who?
Freddie Kitchens. He's gone.
Todd Kitchen?
Something like that. Vladimir Guerrero, 2016 was Vladimir Guerrero's best card, his Bowman Chrome in 2016. They're currently hovering around, base autos are hovering around $1,000. Obviously, he's a lot skinnier in the photo there than he is now. Are you buy, sell, or hold on Vlad Guerrero?
This is you guys. I don't know.
I'm selling.
I think I'm selling, too. I think I'm selling, too. I don't know if that – the guy doesn't hit the gym.
I'm selling on Vlad. I think he's going to have a good year, but I think for it to go up, he would have to have Aaron Judge rookie year type of numbers. He would need to hit for 50 home runs.
Yeah.
I see him maybe hitting 30, 35, but he ain't going to hit 50, 55, 60.
Yeah, I agree. I can't dispute you on that. I really don't see it with Vlad. I mean, it's a Toronto team as well. I know they have a lot of kids, old kid players coming up, you know, like Biggio and all those cats.
Bichette.
I just don't see it at the price it's at. And guys, you know, that have had that same body type over the years, a la Prince Fielder, a la Pablo Sandoval, have dealt with injuries their whole life. So, and this guy plays third base. So
he ain't Prince Fielder or Pablo Sandoval big.
No, he's not. But you know. Big frame.
I mean, give him a couple years. I'll just go to this one real quick.
All right, Shohei Ohtani.
Buying.
2018 Bowman Chrome. You're buying Shohei.
Buying. This is it. This is watch. Watch this year with this kid. Watch him.
Damn, look how good his auto is, too.
Dude, yeah. Buying.
I think I'm going to hold. I don't think I'm going to buy, but I think I'm going to hold. Because I think Mike Trout will win a championship, and I think Shohei can, you know, go around long for the ride and have some good games and it'll bump his value.
Dude, I'm gonna that's a little high, dude.
That price?
Yeah.
Oh, his best offer. I don't know what's wrong with eBay. Every time I go to completed listings, it's got that on there now.
But I mean, he's gonna have. They actually said he's gonna start pitching in May.
Let me see if I can find that card real quick.
So he's gonna be on the bump in May. Dual threat. If he stays healthy, he's going to lead the Angels to a World Series.
My only issue is that argument we had in a prior podcast. Well, he'll never put up record numbers in one of the categories because he does it all.
But
he's a jack of all trades, a master of none.
The thing is, though, there's nobody ever like him. If he is a good pitcher and he still hits for a decent average in like 20, 30 bombs, like give me another player who does that. You can't. Because it doesn't exist. And you got that international market.
And it may not exist with him. We don't know.
You got the international market.
If he starts getting arm soreness again, a couple starts in, he's just going to be a hitter. I don't think they're going to mess around with him.
He is going to
15-25.
He's a type of talent, and he could be an MVP.
All right, so let's move on. So this is part of the file under the funny, angry email category. This is probably the most weird email that we've received in 10 years. We've never seen anything like it. So I'll preface it with all the emails that went back and forth. Hi, my name is, and I'm contacting you because it has come to my attention that this is from the customer, or actually potential customer. It came to my attention that for some reason, the payment on a previous PYT break was never completed. I wanted to pay for it at this time, but needed to update my shipping address. If you could update my shipping address on order number 529834, I could check out with PayPal immediately. Please let me know if anything more you need on our end. So first red flag for us is if you go, this is an order from today. So you can go back and forth for us, C-Rad. So an order number for today is 671694. Now go back to that email, 529834. So immediately we're like, 529? So that's got to be like 6-7 months ago, right? Like, wait a second. This guy said he didn't pay for a break. What break? So Dan corresponds with the gentleman and says, based on the invoice number, the break would have already been performed and the team has been sold. Dan, customer replies, saying, was it not sold to me? I have it as a pending payment on my orders tab. Right? Mind you, this is a year ago now. We figured out it's a year ago. If the payment wasn't processed, this is what Dan said, if the payment wasn't processed, stock will not be pulled and would still be available for purchase. What is the break in question? Customer replies, the break was PYT 1819 Crown Royale case number 10, broken on February 16th, 2019.
Team Dallas Mavericks.
Dallas Mavericks. This email was today. This email exchange was today. So he had it basically in his cart and it stayed. Yeah, guess what? There was a Luka Doncic prime silhouette that was hit in the break.
Hey, that's me. With hair.
A year later, this guy has a pending. It's in his cart still, and he thinks, "Hey, man."
Now
well.
The thing is that it was in his cart. He didn't clear out his cart. It wouldn't allow him to check out. So that's why he sent the email, because he went to go check out, and it's like obviously the stock doesn't exist because it's already been sold. So that's why the corresponding email. Yeah,
it's like. Hey, sportsbook.ag, I put $100,000 on the Chiefs. I just forgot to hit the button so can I get my 3-to-1 money now?
I assumed when I read it and I figured out what break it was, without even watching it, I was like, had to be a huge Luka, right?
Yeah.
Because if there was like some base cards, probably wouldn't want to spend $450 for the Crown Royale PYT. For the Mavericks. So we watched the video. Last card of the break is a prime silhouette of Luka, and it's like a $6,000 card.
But it's the fact that it was a year later,
like,
though.
So I'm just
I wouldn't understand even if it was a week later.
But think about it. You didn't process the payment. Did we just hold on to the team and the card forever? Just like, hey, just in case. So anybody who puts anything into our cart, we're gonna wait. We're gonna be out of business in like 2 months, but we're just gonna wait. And then if you decide you want to pay for it, just go ahead and process payment, and we'll just ship the cards to you. But if you don't want it, we'll just go ahead and need it. This is basically what I got from his email. Like, here's my new shipping address. If you can just go ahead and ship that $6,000 card for me, that's great.
Is this the equivalent of, you know, like what we all do is like, when a guy blows up, we go look at our old cardboard two-shoe roll box and be like, oh, I got that guy. I got that guy. Hell yeah, he's worth hella money now.
No, yeah, he did not have an order number, Jason. And his name started with an R, which was the same as the guy who actually had the team, started with an R, but it wasn't even close. So he was trying to convince us that, yeah, it sounds like you said my name.
Yeah,
too.
One of the emails, so, he was like, oh, he's like, I watched a break and it sounds like you said my name. And I'm like, no. No.
So I that was the first time I've ever run across that. Now, like I said, I might be a little bit more understanding if it was like a week later and somebody thought that they checked out or something, and you know, but like a whole year? Like, what are the chances of us having that card still, like you just said? But anyways, so yeah, that file's under the funny email category, and yeah, it was just eye-opening to us that we got an email like that. It was kind of crazy. So.
I like how it was pretty...
Hey, but hey, no hurt in trying, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, it was very straightforward, and there was no... it was very direct. I got to say, like, pretty confident that, like, this was going to go down. He was going to be able to trade this $450 spot for a $6,000 Luka, along with the like a $300 Luka Kobe card that was in there as well. So it was about $6,300. So that basically the moral of the story is that if it's in your cart, you may just want to check out.
Yeah. Yeah. And because of this, I got to find out why it was still in his cart for over a year, obviously. So I'm going to talk to the web developer on that. But, you know, you could go on Best Buy and put a computer in your cart and have it for a year, right? And, you know, they're not going to probably have that same computer anymore either. So, but anyways, it was funny. Hopefully we'll have some more emails to share with you guys. I mean, we actually have guys that have we had a guy today that he was so mad of not getting hits that he had sent us an email saying to delete his account, which we did. And then today he's like, can you let me buy again? So I was kind of interesting. And we get that. That's
he's
common.
All, can you reactivate my account? I'd like to buy some Optic. You could check out as a guest.
Yeah.
You could sign up for a new account.
Totally
I'm not
good.
I mean, I honestly, like, I don't have time to sit here and like track you down. If you say deactivate my account, I'll do it. But if you ever want to buy from us again, it's not that difficult.
Yeah, you figure it out.
Yeah, I'm confident. If you were able to figure out the first time, pretty sure you can figure out the second time.
Yeah, absolutely. Be a different name, who cares, right? But anyways, that's it for today's show. We got episode 127 next week. And also, you guys, tune in to the Hobby Hotline. I think I'm going to be on the show towards the end of February. I may call in 8 a.m. on YouTube. Follow Hobby Hotline on Twitter. It's a collaboration of top podcast hosts in the sports card industry where you can call in and ask questions about your cards, call in, ask questions about the hobby, whatever the topics may be. It's a pretty, you know, more interactive show than ours where people just call in. And check it out. It's 8 a.m. every Saturday, the Hobby Hotline. So, and also, if you need to get into a break, get it, mojobreak.com. We've got more Optic today. We have Plates and Patches football. And if you've never been in a group break before and this is your first time listening to the podcast, first off, thank you. Secondly, just go on to mojobreak.com where everything is scheduled. Everything's guaranteed to fill. I know sometimes you may find a breaker that you buy into something. It takes 3 or 4 days to fill. That doesn't happen with us. We've been doing it for 10 years. We have a strong, awesome customer base, and all of our breaks are guaranteed to fill same day, so you don't have to wait for your cards. So check that out, and on that, you guys, we will see you guys. Peace.
Dun, dun.